define and promote American interests in the Middle East. So, Daniel, I was talking earlier with Joel Richardson, who has some concerns that Islam generally is something that we need to be concerned about and that we don't know enough about. From your perspective, does the religion itself breed radicals, or do radicals use Islam as a vehicle to get to people and radicalize them?
Thank you, Governor. I'd say the former, that Islam is radicalizing. But my main difference with Mr. Richardson and others who have his general outlook is that I'm a historian. Indeed, I'm a historian of early Islam. And I, the goal of a historian is to trace change over time. And it is a universal rule that everything that's human changes over time. Judaism has changed over time, Christianity has changed, Islam has changed, to give just three examples. And whereas he looks at Islam as a static, essential force, it is has no change. I believe it has changed and is changing and will change. Indeed, in my own career, which dates back to the 1960s, there's enormous change in Islam. It's a far more radical force today than it was when I began my study of it. And if it can become more radical, it'll become less radical. And therefore, I'm much less prone to seeing it as a single thing and much more interested in how it's changing and what we can do, what American foreign policy can do, what we as individuals can do to move it in the right direction. It's been going in the wrong direction for decades now. Are there things we can do to help it go in the right direction, to modernize Islam, to bring it into conformity with modern mores? Christianity has done that. The Christianity today is very different from a few hundred years ago. Islam is different. Islam is changing, and our focus should be not on a static influence, but on how it's changing and what we can do to change it in turn.
Daniel Pipes is my guest here on the Mike Huckabee Show, and we were earlier talking with Joel Richardson, but in both cases we're talking about Islam, its impact upon our world, which is significant, and how Americans should be viewing it. Some forms of Islam are very, very restrictive on women, women's rights, to the point that it is medieval or even more primitive than that. How do you best communicate the difference between the radicalized version of Islam, the more fundamentalist version, and Islam as I have seen it practiced by people I've known, highly professional people, doctors, attorneys, people of all walks of life, who are not the least bit radical and are quite civil in every respect and treat women with respect and don't seem to have any of the aspects externally of a radical form of religion?
The key determinant, I think, is the Islamic law, known as Sharia. There's a spectrum with someone like, say, bin Laden at one end and the people you're referring to at another end, in terms of their attitude towards the Sharia. Not only does a bin Laden type or the Taliban, let's say, wish to apply the Islamic law in its entirety, but it wishes to apply an extreme and severe form of it, say, women in burqas and completely undercover and covered, as opposed to, say, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, which is seeking to apply the Sharia, but only wants women to have their head covered, as opposed to the lawyers that you mentioned who don't seek to apply the Sharia in this form at all. It gets to the heart of the question here of what do you keep and what do you discard in religion? This is an active debate in all religions. So, I don't know, take the question of homosexuality in the Episcopalian Church. It is clear in the Bible that it's prohibited, and yet there are new interpretations that say, well, that's out of date. Or slavery. 150 years ago, there were advocates of slavery said, look, it's in the Bible. The Bible advocates. Abolition said, no, that is out of date. It's not in keeping. It's a misreading of it, and so forth. These debates that take place in the West are also taking place in Islam. What do you keep and what do you discard? What does it mean to be a Muslim today? How much of the Sharia do you apply? Which aspects of it and how completely? If you're going to have women engage in some kind of modest wear some kind of modest clothing, how much is that? Does it mean long-sleeved shirts? Does it mean wearing a burqa? These are the debates that are taking place in Islam. And as I said before, it's changing. One sees evolution. I lived in Egypt, for example, 40 years ago, and there was essentially no head coverings to be seen except among peasants. Today, you walk the streets of the most sophisticated
Well, Daniel Pipes, thank you for joining us. I appreciate both you and Joel Richardson for joining us here today on the Mike Huckabee Show. It's a fascinating conversation, one that we will continue to have because we certainly are confronted every day, not just with the neighborly forms of Islam that we see in our own communities with very respectable, decent people, but we also see the impact to the most radical forms when people strap bombs to the bellies of their children and try to blow up airplanes and our soldiers. Anyway, so delighted to have both of you here on the Mike Huckabee Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.